Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
It's the Brian Lehrer Show on WNYC. Good morning again, everyone. Here's a twist on the maddening run of NJ Transit train cancellations this summer. Last night, several trains were publicly canceled ahead of the beginning of this work week. It would have been nice if commuters this morning could then have actually planned around that announcement as being the final say about the parameters of this Monday morning commuting delays, but, well, this morning even more trains were canceled or delayed without advance notice. So if last summer was officially the summer of hell because of track work around Penn Station, consider this the unofficial summer of hell, or summer of hell too. Joining me now to discuss the latest news, what the heck has been going on, and what solutions might be ahead, is Commuting Larry. That's his Twitter handle. He's Larry Higgs, commuting reporter for NJ Advance Media for NJ.com. Hi, Larry. Welcome back to WNYC.
How are you? Glad to be on.
And NJ Transit users, you can call in and vent. You can call in and tell a story. You can call in and ask a question. You can call in and share some wisdom. And we're also going to invite any NJ Transit engineers who are listening right now to call in on this segment, because an engineer shortage seems to be one of the root problems here. So listeners, whether you're an NJ Transit rider or an NJ Transit worker, engineer or other, 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. Help us make sense. Help us report this story. Help us make sense of what's been going on these rails and what is the way out to the light at the end of the tunnel. Ha, ha, ha. So, Larry, last week you reported that NJ Transit's executive director, Kevin Corbett, is putting at least some of the blame on engineers who've been calling in sick at the last minute. How much is this the heart of the matter?
Well, it's kind of the heart of the matter. The problem is, and really even Corbett explained it himself, this really goes back probably close to about 10 to 17 years ago, because the agency has had very few engineer training courses. He basically said between 2010 and 2017, there were 11 training courses. And that was compounded by the fact that they had furloughs of some engineers in 2010 when they had some budgetary problems. So you've had a constant bleeding of personnel. Now, what's complicated that is that engineers, kind of, you know, following the capitalistic tradition, have found better jobs elsewhere at agencies that pay more money, like Amtrak, Metro North, the Long Island Railroad, and even as far away as Brightline in Florida. So they've been voting with their feet. Corbett estimates that there have been a loss of about 47 engineers over 7 years, and that's retirements and people who just decided to go somewhere else. Now, to give it a perspective, NJ Transit had 391 engineers on staff in 2009. Today, he said that number is 335, and that each year they lose about 10 to 20 who retire. So what happens is he estimates that they need about 30 to 40 more engineers, and it takes 2 years to train these guys. So it's a long, long trip down the track, no pun intended, to get a new engineer through the training process and actually out there on the rails where they can make a difference.
You mentioned the pay and some engineers going to other railroads. I see one stat from NorthJersey.com on Friday that 13 trains were canceled last Friday. 12 of those were due to engineer availability. And if engineers are being lost to Metro North and the Long Island Railroad and Amtrak, what is the pay differential? Do you have any numbers?
They didn't give us a number, but the Brotherhood of Locomotive Engineers said there's roughly about a 20% differential. NJ Transit pays 20% less. So that's something that's got to be addressed. You know, it's sort of the old, you know, if you want to keep the people, you have to be competitive. Interestingly, I did a little experiment on Friday and counted 17 canceled trains due to engineers, you know, engineer shortages not showing up, for lack of a better term, and that was based on NJ Transit's tweets. Now, commuters said to us that the tweets don't always capture everything, and they showed examples of where There were several Bergen County trains that were canceled. They showed a picture of departure vision from their phone. So there were, you know, there are cancellations that aren't even being captured in that 17.
And how new of a problem is this? It seems to people like myself who don't live in New Jersey and, you know, don't you, I can give you every jot and tittle about the problems on the A train. But is this as new as it seems to be in the media coverage, like it popped up all of a sudden this summer or hit critical mass this summer, or is this a longer standing problem?
Well, actually, it popped up last year. We had trains that were canceled last year. Last July was kind of the worst point in time. I think they wound up canceling somewhere upwards of 60 trains on a particular date in July, and that came out in testimony from NJ Transit's director before a joint legislative committee that had been investigating NJ Transit. So the problem has been there, and they have admitted that they're even back then, they said, we were short on engineers, we're short on maintenance positions, we're short on a lot of positions. One of the figures that came out of those hearings was that in 2014, there were 409 open positions across the railroad.
And so it bubbled up and bubbled up and bubbled up, and here we are.
Exactly. So, you know, when we talked to the union folks about it, you know, they blamed it on NJ Transit's sick policy, that basically you get 5 sick days, and if you've had the flu in February and exhausted your sick days and you get sick during the summer and call out, it's considered an unexcused absence. Now, NJ Transit did confirm that. Of course, the thing is, obviously, it can't all be people getting sick. Somebody has to be doing what they call in the post office, banging in where they decide it's a nice day, I'm going to the beach, and away we go. So what has to be separated out is, how do you deal with the people who have a genuine, legitimate reason for being out, that they're sick, versus the person who decides they're going to take a mental health day and go to the beach? And, you know, commuters suffer for that.
Gosh, by that measure, given today's weather, nobody should have called in sick. Peter,
well, exactly.
212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. And Peter in Glen Ridge, you're on WNYC. Hi, Peter. Peter, are you there?
I'm here.
Hi.
Do we really need engineers? Now, think about it. We're talking about putting positive speed control to compensate for engineers that have made mistakes. And in Hoboken, there was the guy who fell asleep and crashed into Hoboken Terminal. Meanwhile, think of trains as being like horizontal elevators. You get monorails in the airports. They don't need conductors. We have Google cars, for God's sake. Do we really need engineers, or are they a relic of the past? Can we automate all this stuff? What's the big deal? Do we need engineers? Make it automatic, like an elevator. You get on, you push a button, you go to your destination.
Peter, thank you very much. Provocative suggestion. Larry, is it under consideration anywhere that you know of?
You know, it's been out there, and actually there have been some advocates who have opined the same thing, saying once we get PTC, which is positive train control, installed, you know, are we pretty much on the way to automation? And the answer is kind of yes and no. One of the problems we've had with PTC is the fact that every railroad has had to do it simultaneously. And one of the railroads that's ahead of the curve is SEPTA. And when I interviewed their general superintendent about, you know, how did you guys do this so well? You know, first of all, they anticipated they were ahead of the curve. But they said one of the problems is it's like every state launching its own space program, and they're all competing for the same limited pool of engineers and companies that do this. The other problem is, you know, a lot has been made of autonomous vehicles, but let's remember something. We're not there yet. You know, we had a crash in Phoenix where an automated Uber vehicle mistook a woman on a bicycle for a pedestrian,
right. And
unfortunately ran them over and killed them. So,
one would think that it's easier and safer on a railroad than on the road with cars, right? Because it's a system, you're on a track, you're not on the street with all those variables like pedestrians. I mean, not to be too much of an advocate of putting all those people out of work, but one would think that if that was the goal, it might be pretty doable on trains, but I don't know.
you know, again, you know, the monorail was brought up as an example. If you look at the monorail, it's a very simple system. It's basically, there are not a lot of curves, switches, things of that nature. You know, there are four stops on the Newark monorail, the Newark Airport monorail, which is basically the train station and the three terminals. And, you know, that, and that's had its problems as well. The Port Authority is going to have to replace that. But, you know, the simpler the operation, obviously, the easier it is to automate. The problem is when you have a large operation, a busy operation like the Northeast Corridor, where you have to deal with local trains, express trains, Amtrak high-speed trains, switches, interlocking, stations that are local stops, stations that are express stops, you're getting to a higher level of sophistication. So really, the low-hanging fruit for automation is going to be the simplest train lines out there.
All right. Who else wants to weigh in on Summer of Hell 2 on NJ Transit for Commuting Larry? That's his Twitter handle, Larry Higgs, commuting reporter for NJ Advanced Media for NJ.com, 212-433-WNYC. And any engineers listening out sick, legitimately, you can, you know, call and cough a little, whatever you need to do. And or maybe you're on a vacation day. Or maybe you're an engineer who recently left NJ Transit and now you're working for a higher paying railroad or something like that. 212-433-9692. Help us understand the problem. Help us figure out some solutions. 212-433-9692 with Larry Higgs. Let me read you two contrasting tweets that we just got. One says they used the New Jersey coastline, but recently I have switched to Academy bus lines, this says, and it is direct from Hazlitt to New York City, and we get into the city in 50 minutes. What a difference. Surprised more people don't switch. But then somebody else writes, I appreciate talk about NJ Transit, but please talk about the bus situation. That's hell all the time. All anyone ever talks about is the trains. The bus terminal is the worst place on earth. Buses are not reliable and are filthy. Trains are wonderful in comparison. Ha. So where do you start on the bus component of this?
Well, one of the biggest problems with the bus is that the majority of those lines filter into the express bus, the exclusive bus lane, which is on Route 495, and that goes to the Lincoln Tunnel. The problem is you have a lot of, you have more buses there than they have capacity for. The Port Authority bus terminal is maxed out. That's why they're looking into building a new one and building one that hopefully will be expanded. But the other thing is you have a Lincoln Tunnel that is at a finite capacity. So you have all those buses and all those cars filtering in there. So one little hiccup in that system and you've got massive delays. And they happen a lot. You know, one of the biggest things commuters complain about is a little plastic pole that separates the bus lane from the rest of Route 495 called a delineator. And when five or more of those pop out, the Port Authority has to stop traffic and a guy gets out of his truck and picks up the delineators and pops them back in place. And for commuters, that is just maddening. And they've questioned, why can't we find some kind of a high-tech solution so we don't have to pay a guy to get out of a truck and do that kind of work? And now the interesting thing is the Port Authority is looking at things, kind of high-tech things, autonomous things that some one of the other callers talked about, and that is bus platooning, where one bus is connected to several buses behind it, and they can run closer and faster, and the first bus communicates with the other ones to say, slow down, speed up, we're coming to an obstacle ahead to try to gain more capacity. But again, we're not quite there yet.
We'll continue in a minute with Commuting Larry and more of your calls and where Governor Murphy fits in. He blamed all these problems on Governor Christie when he was running for office. Now it's happening on his watch. Where does Phil Murphy come in and does he have a solution? Stay with us. Brian Lehrer on WNYC as we talk about Summer of Hell 2 for NJ Transit commuters with Commuting Larry, Larry Higgs, commuting reporter for NJ Advanced Media, NJ.com. And Dick in Rybrook wants to further the conversation about unhumaned trains. Dick, you're on WNYC. Hello.
Good morning, Brian, and good morning to your audience. I travel to Singapore once a year to visit family who live there and stay in Singapore for about a month. And I can report that I have personally ridden on a totally automated subway line that is called the Downtown Line and runs about 20 stops. It is automated. There's nobody on the train, not a conductor, nothing. But there are cameras on the train. There are video screens where they're feeding you information about everything from commercials to hints about what to do in case of an emergency. The whole thing is totally automated, and it runs beautifully. And I should also point out that up on the surface, Singapore has congestion pricing so that the cars don't necessarily flood the center of the city during the busiest hours.
Dick, thank you very much. Joe in Cliffside Park, you're on WNYC. Hi, Joe.
Oh, hi. I am a longtime New Jersey transit rider, and what's very frustrating is when you are on a bus and going through towards Lincoln Tunnel, there's so much traffic. Why can't New Jersey Transit do the same thing as New York City did with taking over some of the ferries at a reasonable price? For example, if I take a ferry from Weehawken to 40th Street, it's $9. Why can't it be, you know, New Jersey Transit ferry for $2.50 or $3?
Right. Joe, interesting question. But, of course, Larry, that doesn't get people from the interior to the river.
It really doesn't. I mean, you know, with the 495 bridge project, which will close down two lanes of that highway, we were looking at alternatives. And, of course, you know, the first thing was pitched to us was the ferry, but the problem is you have to get there. And really, one of the only alternative ways to get there would be to ride an NJ Transit train to Hoboken, and you step off in the terminal, and there's a ferry to Midtown right there. But there's no way in a car or even a bus around that 495 mess, which is going to start next Friday.
Albert,
you can ride a bus. You can ride a bus from Bergen County from the north down River Road, but you know that doesn't help people from interior New Jersey, as you said.
Albert in Bloomfield, you're on WNYC. Hi, Albert.
Hey, I was calling in. I'm a Montclair Bootin Line rider, and I'm actually really fortunate because I'm out on paternity leave right now, so I'm avoiding all of this mess.
That's it?
Well, no. Usually it's very frustrating in the summertime with the trains because there's always delays because of overhead track fire and stuff. So I'm avoiding all of the hassle because I don't have to say go to work because I'm home with the kid.
And by the way, congratulations.
Thank you.
And thank you for your call. So Larry, an engineer who works a night shift 6 days in a row must take 24 hours off. We are told an engineer who works daylight hours can work as many as 14 days consecutively, but then the rules mandate that they have to take two full calendar days off. James P. Brown, Brotherhood of Locomotive Engineers, General Chairman, the union chairman, said unexcused absences could be a result of the fact that engineers get 5 sick days per year, only that. So any would be counted as an unexcused absence. And this brings us to Governor Murphy, who, you tell me if he ran with their endorsement, but he blamed NJ Transit's deteriorating performance on Chris Christie, his predecessor. His solution on the campaign trail was to spend more money to improve the service. Last Thursday, you reported that Governor Murphy said he, quote, underestimated the problem. What is he saying?
Well, and that's pretty accurate. And even Kevin Corbett, the executive director of Transit, also said at a panel in Transit Center in New York yesterday that really the problem was much worse than he thought it was once he got into the agency and took a look at what had been going on. The agency has suffered from chronic underfunding during the Christie administration. That led to two fare increases, one in 2010, which was the largest fare increase and did away with off-peak discounts, and then another one in 2009. And the problem is NJ Transit has two budgets. They have an operating budget, which is kind of like your household budget. It pays to buy the groceries, pay the electric bill, things like that. And the capital budget, which would be like the budget you'd use to put a new roof on your house or a new hot water heater in your house. The problem is NJ Transit is borrowing from its capital money to pay the bills. So it would be like you borrowing from that kitty you have for a major repair on your house or your condo and spending it to pay the electric bill. and this has been going on since 1990. So money that would have gone to new trains and what have you has been constantly spent on these other things. Now, Murphy has put $242 million into operating and said, you're going to use this money, number one, to keep fares stable. You're going to use this money to hire more engineers, hire more bus drivers, and it's a start. But it's not going to happen overnight, and that's the problem. We have immediate problems that commuters are dealing with right now with canceled trains. We have equipment shortages because trains and locomotives are being put in the shop to have positive train control equipment put on them. And when you add that up to the regular repairs, the regular maintenance and regular inspections that have to be done, you wind up with trains that are short cars. So the trains that are running out there, people are standing like they're standing in the subway, and they're angry because they're paying $400 a month for this.
So
Murphy really has his work cut out for him. It's going to be over the course of years, and he has said this, that it's not going to be 1 or 2 years before this goes away. He said it's going to be a couple of budget cycles, and they need to be patient. The problem the commuters had was that he not only went to Italy, but whoever handles his social media account kept tweeting his accomplishments on NJ Transit as these canceled trains are spiraling out of control. And to the commuters, that looks tone deaf.
Somebody must have scheduled those tweets about 3 months ago.
Possibly, but you know, he was pretty contrite when he addressed the media on Thursday.
And to add insult to injury, anybody who's going through Secaucus, that big Secaucus station where so many people transfer, has had faulty air conditioning for 2 weeks during the heat wave. You wrote about this.
Yes. They had two large compressors that have problems and have to be replaced. And to give you an idea, these are compressors that have to be hauled up with a crane on installed on the roof of the building. So that's supposed to happen this week, but, a couple of sources have said they may not get it back on in full operation until the 20th. You know, Transit has gone in, they've done some work to try to not an air conditioning repairman, so I can't tell you exactly how this works, but they tried to fix it so the compressors that are there are able to operate at a higher speed or a higher power, and they put some fans around, and, you know, hopefully that'll help. But, you know, we have forecasts of temperatures going back into the 90s this week, so it's going to be a sweat lodge.
A sweat lodge in Secaucus. Last thing, last year's summer of hell, caused by closed tracks at Penn Station, was at least tempered a bit by the move to deploy more buses and Hudson River ferries to supplement service. Any consideration on the part of the agency to make that move on a more permanent basis? Because last year, at least, we knew that the quote-unquote summer of hell, which actually went pretty smoothly because of all this compensation for it, ended on Labor Day.
And that's a very good point, because commuters have brought that up, made that very suggestion. Instead of trying to run the schedule that you have out there now and canceling trains all over the place, be realistic, have a reduced schedule, tell the commuters up front, you're going to lose trains, but we're going to run the ones that are on the schedule. So this way they know what's going on. But there are no discounts being offered. I mean, the ferry is there if you want to take it, but you're paying the full price. You can take the PATH. The PATH has its own problems this year, also because of positive train control installation, but you're paying full price. So that's part of the anger the commuters have, is that the alternatives that are out there, well, you have to pay the price.
Commuting Larry, that's his Twitter handle, Larry Higgs, commuting reporter for NJ Advance Media for NJ.com. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Always happy to be on.